If you have your Bibles with you, would you please turn to Luke 2? Luke 2, we'll be reading today verses 25 through 35. But before we do, would you bow your heads with me and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year when we can focus and concentrate on the coming of your Son and what it means for us as your people, what it means for your kingdom, and sometimes, Lord, that finds us in surprising ways. I pray today, Lord, that as we look at this particular story about your coming, I pray that you would come in our hearts, Lord, in a new way, in a special way today. Also, Lord, can't forget to ask to please smooth out my wrinkles this morning. In your name, amen. All right, we're going to be reading an exciting story. I want to preface it just a little bit. I think that every December, the church, people of God, Christians or whatever, we spend an awful lot of time telling and retelling the stories of the birth of Jesus. We celebrate for a period of 4 weeks ahead of Christmas, Advent, meaning the coming, his coming. We prepare, you know, we talk a lot, we yak a lot about preparing room in our hearts, about he's coming, and we tell the stories and we relive them over and over and over and over every year. It's a wonderful thing because for all, especially maybe for all of these young kids that we have, it instills in them an appreciation and a sentiment and a love for the story of the coming of Jesus, and that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. But for some of us, I think sometimes we can compartmentalize Christmas then. You know what I mean? Where we know the story of Jesus, we understand his coming as our Lord and as our Savior and things, and sometimes we just leave it there. And we let it be the fantasy fairy tale story that we all know, and we can say it frontwards and backwards, but sometimes we forget what it means and how it can mean something so powerful for us each individually and personally. And so today, this morning, we're gonna look at a guy named Simeon, who just briefly appears in the scriptures and has a surprise encounter with Jesus. Not necessarily something he wasn't expecting, but in the way it happened, I think there's gems for us, ways that we can identify with this guy, how he encounters Jesus, and some things about his life. So let's read the story of Simeon. This is in Luke 2, starting in verse 25. It says there, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Interesting story, isn't it? And I know it's not necessarily part of the Christmas story, as we all know and love it, but shortly thereafter, a week or so after, this happens. After the manger scene and everything, they're just trying, Mary and Joseph are going to the temple to try to fulfill their obligation for this young child, to dedicate him, and this guy comes up, this old man, Simeon. He comes up. Now, Simeon is a little bit of a mystery, and you'll all remember listening to Paul Harvey on the radio? Remember how he would say that? The rest of the story. Well, I don't know the rest of the story about Simeon, otherwise I would tell it to you. But there's actually lots of, there are a lot of, okay, so we as people, we like to know, we like to have the whole enchilada, right? We like to know all the ins, ands, or buts about it, and we like to have all the information. Well, with Simeon, it's a little hard to know. We don't know a lot of the specifics of the story, except for what's here. Now, there's been scholars throughout church history that have taken a lot of, well, they've tried to fill in the details. And so there's some theories out there surrounding this character, Simeon. And some of them are kind of interesting. For one, some people think, some biblical scholar people believe, that this Simeon actually was quite a famous guy. There is a Simeon that was the son of the famous Hillel, which was a super famous, one of the 70, Hillel was one of the 70 translators of the Hebrew Bible. He was a famous scribe and teacher. And he had a son named Simeon, who was also quite famous, and he was the father of Gamaliel, who appears in later on in Luke's writings in the book of Acts as a high-placed Pharisee that sort of defends the apostles. So this Simeon did exist, and he was actually the president of the Sanhedrin in AD 13, this Simeon that some scholars believe is this guy from this story. He really existed, and oddly enough, to add to the mystery of this theory is that there's this book. It's called the Mishnah in Jewish tradition, and the Mishnah records all of the famous sayings of the revered teachers in the Hebrew faith, whatever. Now, it just so happens that according to this sort of legend, this theory is that this Simeon had a hard time believing the prophecy in Isaiah 40 about the virgin birth. This Simeon that I'm talking about now. Not the Simeon from the Luke story, but one of... You understand what I'm saying, right? Okay. It's according to lore, this Simeon, this famous Simeon, had a hard time with that prophecy as they're translating the scriptures and looking at it, and he didn't believe it, that this Messiah would be born of a virgin, and therefore you get the fact that God told him, you're going to hold him in your hands, the virgin's son. And so this is how the story is propagated. And strangely enough, in the Mishnah, in this book of recorded revered sayings from the revered teacher, the Simeon is nowhere to be found. We know he existed, we know he was a famous teacher, and the son of this famous scribe, and yet he didn't make it into the Mishnah. Some people theorize that's because he supported Jesus. He believed in the Nazarene and was therefore sort of shunned by the rest of these high-placed priests and got his name omitted from the record. Retribution, you might say, for believing in Jesus. Now, that theory gets a little thin, honestly. We know that that Simeon was a very, very popular name in this day, and we don't know if that was the guy or not. There's another theory floating around that says that there was an old man named Simeon also who was an Essene. Now, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, the Essenes were sort of a sect of Judaism they were very hard on themselves. They lived very, very austerely, in austerity. They lived poor. They denied themselves all earthly pleasures. And this particular Essene named Simeon was living at the time of Herod's death, and he rebuked Archelaus, Herod Archelaus, for marrying his brother's widow. He prophesied his downfall, and so that guy existed too, a different Simeon, an Essene. There were many, many guys named Simeon at this time. So scholars throughout the history have tried to say, well, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? But honestly, I give you all that information, probably it was none of the above. Probably it was just a random guy who was walking with God and who God put at the right place at the right time. See, I don't know, I mean, this is an aside, a little asterisk maybe today, but God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? All through the Christmas story, all through the story of the birth of Jesus, we have nobodies that God calls up out of nowhere and they get their name or they get their part of the tale. And I think this Simeon is one of those. Probably he was nobody of note. Just a common man who walked with God, who listened to God. And it says that there were three qualities about this Simeon. And I think it's probably a good thing that he was a nobody. I think that he probably was not a nobody, but you know what I mean? Not somebody of like of fame or honor, but just a man. I think that's a good thing because it helps us to focus on what's important. What we do know for sure about Simeon is written right here. He was righteous, he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit of God was with him, was on him, carried the Holy Spirit of God. These are important things that do set aside Simeon as a special guy, as a special character in this story. And I was looking, trying to really like get a really firm grip on what it means when in our English language it says he was righteous and when he was devout and he was waiting. So I looked back into the Greek, into the old languages, and very simply put, righteousness means he was just, he was trustworthy, he was fair, and he was just and trustworthy and fair before God and man. He was a man sort of like beyond reproach, somebody that you would go to trust. Somebody that, you know, whose character spoke for him. Equitable. Known, well known for his good character. Devout, and this is one of my favorites. Devout literally means that he was careful. Huh. I don't know, you guys probably know this about me, but I tend to not be very careful. I wouldn't say that I'm not devout, but that's what devout means. Careful. He was very careful to live his life in such a way as to honor God and protect what is holy. He didn't want to risk it with God. If there was even a chance that it might displease God, he was a guy that wouldn't do it. Because he was devout. He was careful. Careful to give God honor in all the things that he did and thought and spoke. And so you mix those two. Here's a guy that was of high character. You know? A guy to be like. Now it also says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Watching with expectation, with patience, and with confidence for this great comfort, the Messiah. God had told him through his spirit, he had made it known to Simeon that he would not die until he saw with his own eyes this great comforter. And it's interesting too, this was how fitting it was, O come, O come, Emmanuel. And this is the mindset of Simeon, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel who mourns in lonely exile here. He paints a dark picture of the yearning for comfort that was in Simeon. This was what he was waiting for, the appearance of a Savior. And in Simeon's case, this hope, this promise that he held from God, translated for him into joy and expectation, you see. It wasn't a fleeting joy, like a good idea that is here one moment and gone the next. But for Simeon, this was a pattern in his life of faithfulness, of righteousness, always expecting that this would come to pass, always looking for it each day. He had a promise. I think it's interesting, before we try to apply this, I guess, it's interesting his response when he finally does lay eyes on and lays hands on, he says he picks him up, the baby Jesus. It's fascinating to me the thought there is, it says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples. It's almost as if Simeon, having lived the fulfillment of this promise that he carried about for so long, had no more use for his biological life. He was willing to let it go now because he had seen the best thing that eyes could see, the fulfillment of the promise from God. He was eager for the end for him to come, to go and be with God because his eyes had seen the greatest thing that they would ever see. Now this old guy, Simeon, we have reason to believe that he was very old, that somehow God had sort of sustained him along to live to see this. I don't know if it was unnatural long life. I don't know how old he was. But we have reason to believe that he was an old man. Simeon can be a powerful example for you and me. We too have a promise. We have a hope. We too have the Holy Spirit. We have everything that Simeon has. You'll see it. God has given us access to the mind of Christ. We have a promise that he is coming. We too have, see church, we have the tools that are needed to live a life like Simeon's that was full of hope and joy and expectation as he waited to see God's promises revealed in his life. I want us to take, for just a moment this morning, it probably will stretch into a longer moment than I anticipate, but for a moment this morning, look for a minute at what we have become as people. Now, it didn't happen quickly. It's happened slowly. But it's happening faster and faster that we, just as people, have forsaken our heritage as pilgrims. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a pilgrim. A pilgrim is simply, the definition of pilgrim is a traveler on a journey to a holy place. Simeon was a pilgrim, see? He was a traveler on a journey of life to something holy. He wanted to, this journey culminated in a moment for him in the temple where he held up Jesus and saw with his own eyes. We come, all of us come from pilgrim people. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the guys with the belt buckles on their hats that sailed on the Mayflower and whatever. Nina the Pinta, this Nina and the Santa Maria, is that what they were? No, what was it? Ninta Sinta Hata. What? Yeah, yeah, okay. Anyway. Anyway. We come from people of pilgrimage. Oh, I've just totally derailed myself, haven't I? We come from a long tradition of people who knew what it was like to live life a day at a time, constantly moving closer to God, closer to holiness. There was a slowness to life, and there was an understanding that it was short, and that there was a sort of a patient journey. Life was a patient journey, and there was purpose in the journey. It was slow going, but it was meaningful. Up to about the last 100 years or so, this is how people lived. They lived slowly, but they lived meaningfully. There were powerful things going on in life. Unfortunately, we sort of have turned into, and I think especially in the last 50 years maybe, we've turned into more like tourists than pilgrims. Tourists, you see, seek novelty, entertainment, shortcuts, and trends versus a slow journey toward what is holy. You see the difference? Simeon was a pilgrim. Day after day, he journeyed toward his expectation, toward his hope. We, unfortunately, have come to a place where the status quo for our people in this country and Western civilization, spend the majority of their efforts, time, and resources on entertainment. Honestly. Huge amounts, huge percentages of our energy in our life, our days are spent in the enjoyment of entertainment or the seeking of entertainment or the talking about entertainment. Entertainment's what we do. We eat to be entertained. We go to shows to be entertained. We go on trips to be entertained. Everything is kind of for our entertainment. We don't really need anything, right? We've kind of gotten soft. And a friend of mine brought to my attention that entertainment as a thing wasn't even a thing until very recently. Now, there were things that were entertaining. You know, they would sit by the, like way back, they would sit by the fire in their cave or whatever and tell their story, the story of their people, their heritage. And that was entertaining. You know, maybe you had an uncle that was really good at telling the story and you'd always want him to tell it because it was more fun and entertaining. That's fine. But there was a purpose. We now, in this, the status quo now is that entertainment is kind of a thing. It's a thing that we pursue, that we work hard on. We've traded the pilgrim's patient acquisition of virtue for the tourist's continuous need for amusement. Now, not in all cases. We still seek what's holy, right? We still try to strive. Our intentions are good. We want to strive and be changed and move toward what is holy. We want, deep inside of us, we know that the cheap entertainment that the world offers us isn't meaningful. We desire and we want the deep, powerful things of God. We do. But our flesh and our culture and just what's offered to us at the buffet of life have been conditioned by, for our entire lives, by 30-second commercial snippets and a life of ease, really, and plenty, we expect to be entertained and amused and on to the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. That's just who we've sort of become. So, this morning, I want to encourage all of you to be like Simeon and just to, so you can make a connection, also like Rambo, John Rambo, who says, if you had the patience and the endurance to watch all three of the old Rambo movies, which I probably shouldn't endorse fully, but, you know, you just watch at your own discretion. There's a scene where Rambo's going into the fight. He's going to Afghanistan in Rambo 3, and he meets up with his Afghani or Pakistani or whatever, guide or whatever, and the guy looks at Rambo and he says, "Well, you're not military. You're not mercenary. What are you? Lost tourist?" Rambo walks up to him. "I'm no tourist." You know? "I'm no tourist." That should be our call today too. "I'm no tourist. I'm a pilgrim." To wait well. To wait well. To wait with integrity of character like Simeon. With righteousness and devotion. The way Simeon did. Seeking to do and become what is good. Being careful, carefully guarding and watching over our thoughts, watching over our words, and watching over our actions, what we think and what we say and what we do, which will be in the face of and against the grain of our culture. To wait well, knowing that the day is coming when waiting well is rewarded. Because it was rewarded for Simeon. And if we wait well, we're rewarded as well. But to wait, dear church, is not to be idle. Remember Rambo, "I'm no tourist." I think it's a little later he says, "I fired a few shots." We're not to wait idly. There are some who would tell you that we are to wait idly, that all we're doing is waiting for Jesus to come back. But I don't believe that that's the way we're intended to wait. Like Simeon, we live every day with our eyes wide open to catch a glimpse of the hope that we have, the promises that we have, that we carry with us. We're to be people of action, careful, deliberate action. Careful, deliberate action. With our eyes open, active, searching for his deliverance, searching for his presence in things big and things small, in ourselves and in other people too, in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. Like Simeon, I want to close with this, I guess. A careful, thankful heart, practiced habits of righteousness. And devotion, you see, leaves the door open for God's surprises. I don't know if that day, it says here that he came in the Spirit into the temple, okay? Now, I don't know what that means. What was his mindset as he went to the temple? Was it as just as if it had been the many other times that he had gone, fought, you know, in his devotion, his life of righteousness and devotion, he was going to worship, or he was going to talk with someone, or maybe he was just going, maybe he did that every day, I don't know. But one day he walks in, there it is, the baby, that's it. When we live carefully, thankfully, with practiced habits of righteousness, it leaves the door open for God's surprises. Then we can see it when it comes before us. If we live like tourists, I don't think we'll find God interesting enough for our time. One day, all at once, Simeon's hopes were realized, and it can be so for us too. May we live like Simeon. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your coming does surprise us. Can't help but think that Simeon was surprised when he laid eyes on you. Lord, help us to live lives that are careful. Help us to live lives that leave space for you to reveal to us your miracles, for you to reveal to us your power, your redemption, your creativity, your glory and your splendor. Father, help us to make space for you in our lives, not to live as tourists who just seek novelty and shortcuts and entertainment and trends, but to live as pilgrims who every day deliberately choose to move a little closer down the road to what is holy. Help us, Lord, because it is only in you that we can do this. So help us, Lord. Inspire us by your Spirit, just like you did Simeon. In your name we pray. Amen.